Shine, little Luver, liver, liver, shine, little Luver, liver, liver, leap us.
Good evening, and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, calling in from my living room, and I am here with my neighbor and fellow worm friend. It's Lulu in the house. Good evening, Lulu.
Hi, Jill.
Great to have you back.
And it's good to be back, right?
Right. And, of course, we've got Jeff connecting us to our friend and fellow worm, Lance, up there on Redlands. Hi, Lance.
Hi, how are you?
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
It seems like we're all talking through a tin can with a piece of yarn tonight.
Yeah, well, we'll do okay.
Yeah, we will do okay.
Advanced, hi, Lulu.
Hi, Lance. Yeah, advanced technology, eh?
Right.
We are in the space age now.
There you go. Okay, well, it is the call-in show, but we're taking up all the lines tonight, so you can email your questions to worm@kvnf.org, or you can send a text, and that text number is 970-234-KVNF. And we're going to start with some emails. This first email is from David, and it's about raspberries.
Oh, my favorite.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. My raspberry plants are leafing out, also putting up new shoots in places where he really doesn't want them. And if he wants to try to transplant those new shoots somewhere else, how large should he let those plants get before digging them up?
Yeah.
Send that out to our expert.
Yeah. I would do it anytime.
So would I.
Yeah, anytime. Once they're starting to grow, yeah. And you, it's really nice if the stem and maybe where it's coming up from is, you know, maybe at best a pencil thickness.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if it gets really that much smaller, there's not enough, shall I say, umph in the shoot to actually survive being transplanted.
All right.
Yeah, and the thing is, I have that same problem at, and I don't transplant them. I treat them as a weed if they're outside their patch. But that's me. That's me. You can, if you have more room, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
I got some that are moved 2 feet underneath sod to get into my regular plant other beds.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Lulu.
Yeah, I would move them and just, do it, Lance. I don't have raspberries because I don't have that enough space.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they that's all they really want is to be a bramble, you know, a big load of them so you can hardly get in there, you know.
Yeah.
Like old Brer Rabbit, he done love that, you know, berry patch. And you know, you just try it, do it.
Yeah.
Make it look like you're trying to, like what you want, and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, well, I'm going to have to try something else.
Yeah. And in the transplanting, if you have any the soluble kelp or maxi crop or any of these kind of things, those trace minerals really help plants in the shock of transplanting.
Okay. Yeah.
So you'd water them in. You'd put that stuff in water. That's what you'd actually water the transplants with.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that soil amendment with the berry bushes before, and that it's super helpful. And
yeah. So, you know, you can get good root action, too, by, well, you wouldn't want to do that, though, with those raspberries, but you can soak a potato with whatever you're going to transplant. And that, and it's got to be an organic potato, just because that non-organic potato might have chemicals that aren't good, but a potato will encourage sprouting as well.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard that. Yeah. Those.
All right. Thank you, David, for your email. Thank you, Worm. Talking berries. Kind of get excited to get that all going.
Yeah, it is kind of fun, right?
Oh, it's so fun right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you should see my hands.
Your hands are good. You should see you should see my pants. You should see me. I'm pretty pig-penned out myself here.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And I think both of you have been out there just edging beds a lot. I mean, that's taking grass and
Yeah, it's the main, besides soil prep, I'm edging beds to keep the grass back and just make nice and tidy and that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Most of my beds look pretty ragged still because I was working on doing other things. I was filling up my smart pots again and working the chicken yard into a frenzy and, you know, things like that. Getting the, I got one of my beds really edged out, though, and it's the one with the irises and the poppies, and the poppies want to go everywhere, of course, so
mm-hmm.
they have to be trimmed, you know, kept in line, literally.
And did your poppies come up, Lance? Didn't you do
The Hungarian blue red poppies came up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're really good, and I have another batch of those. Every year I grow enough for about a quart of seed.
A quart of seed? Nice.
Yeah,
that's nice, you know. That's a really fun thing. Hey, you know what happened to me today? I was trying to order seeds from one of the seed companies I like to use, and all of it was out of stock.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, that's a good sign. People are gardening, growing food.
That is a good sign.
Yeah.
People are out in their garden.
Yeah, you can always, I don't know what you need, but I have plenty. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm, you know what, even if I thought to myself, well, you know, I might not get these new ones fresh, but I can always delve into my old stash of stuff and just, it'll be a different garden.
Sure.
Eventually they'll get them back in stock.
Yeah.
The problem is they can't get them from their big stash into the little packets and then mailed out quick enough.
Ah.
Because they don't have enough help.
Yeah.
Well, it'll make you think about seed saving this year. I mean, this year is thinking about a lot of things. It'll be
different. Yeah, it's making everybody think a little differently.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF, and you can email your questions to worm@kvnf.org. Or you can text 970-234-KVNF. And we do have another email here, and this is from our friend Marilyn, who says, Yo, worm.
Yo,
worm. I have shrubs and trees that didn't lose their leaves last fall due to the early frost. As I understand it, they may not have gotten all the energy to survive the winter because the leaves didn't drop off naturally. Is there anything I should do for them this spring? That's the old getting pushed off or not pushed off.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Leaves fall off, they get pushed.
Yeah, most of mine came off already. The only ones that stayed on a little bit longer were on the plums. She could try watering them. The ground might be dry and the plants aren't growing as, you know.
Dry watering.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little fish emulsion fertilizer or something like that as well.
Yeah.
I was worried about mine, and I see that mine are all coming along nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and the other thing you can do is the old scratch test. You know, just give those branches a little scratch, and if it's green under there, then they're alive.
Yeah.
You know, just be patient. You know what my friend Stevie Bonner used to say? He was this guy that worked for the Parks Department up in Aspen, and he worked for this old Swede who was this, like, Nazi gardener. He was great. And he used to say, sometimes you have to give the tree a whack. You have to actually whack it with something so that it comes to life.
Yeah. I actually heard that before.
Slap in the face.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to just whack it.
Yeah, you take a rolled up newspaper.
With rolled up newspaper.
Yeah, the New York Times or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. That'll work.
Get it out.
Hey, Jill, we just mentioned back about the seed stuff. Can we mention about Sarah and her offer?
Yeah. So Lance and Sarah Smith, who joins our show and talks about the Delta County Seed Library every year, she's got some onion plants, biannuals, right, Lance?
Yeah, biannuals.
That she needs to donate away. And so if you are interested in that, you can email to adam@kvnf.org.
Yeah, and these are the bulbs, and you plant them out and collect the seeds and say September. But anyways, do that. Get, and what you want to do is leave your contact information at that adam@davianf.org, and Sarah will get back to you. There's four or five varieties, she said.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah, for checking in on that.
Yeah.
And love that seed library.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. That's another really great idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, we've got another email here from Lita. And Lita says, help. Oh, boy, man. She's talking about the burr cutter buttercup weed.
Uh-oh.
Worse than
the
last year. Yeah, suggestions on that, Lance. We were just chatting about this earlier.
Well, it's on the list, and some are still in their prime, but most of them have bloomed and have made their little burrs and are maturing seed.
Right.
And they hoe off really easy, but at this stage, even if you hoe them up, some of those burrs are still going to mature seeds in them because they're far enough along. She can try, of all things, agricultural vinegar.
Oh, sure.
And,
oh, yeah.
And that will burn them up. And she could also, if she's not too afraid to actually, people torch them.
Oh, sure.
Weed burning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The torching really works, especially in gravel and
yeah,
like that.
And that's their favorite places in those on the edges of the driveways in the gravel.
Yeah, yeah. But the torch thing is that's my favorite.
That's your favorite.
Yeah. the flamethrower thing. I love that.
Right.
You know? It's just but the thing, if you do that, or if you use the vinegar, then they're done. That's it. Unless you get a fresh crop that somebody brings in from
yep.
you, from somewhere else for you, you're not going to. Those they're an annual, and they really play fair. If you can
yep.
get those seeds out, you're in good shape.
I spent years trying to get them out of this one driveway. Yeah, and it wasn't me. And then I went over to the person's neighbor, which happened to be our nephew, and I looked at his driveway, and he was always coming to visit his aunt. I says, oh, this is where all those seeds are coming from. And
right.
I told him that, and he's never drove into our driveway again.
Right. And
there's no more seeds.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yep. See? You just have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, Lulu, when you think of that, how they play, that one plays fair.
That one does play fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very shallow rooted, and the only time I had them in my driveway was the construction crew was here working on the house, and I had and they brought, you know, the construction crew, they have a trailer with all their equipment and materials in it. Well, that trailer, I know exactly where it was parked, and I know what's growing all around it. And so that was the only time, and I know what the seedlings look like, and they didn't last very long.
Right, right. And, you know, that's another thing, too. So up here in Paonia, the ones that I've seen around here are in that pretty yellow flower stage.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
You know, so don't be fooled. Don't be thinking that it's a pretty yellow flower.
Right.
Because it ain't. It's a nasty old goat's head burr.
Yeah.
And, you have to,
Now's the time.
This is the time.
We were pulling weeds and pulling grass, and now's the time to go after that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one that's having a field day is the white top. That's coming in.
Yeah, it's starting to come up and
yeah.
go to town. Yeah.
Yeah, just mow it. Just keep mowing it. Molest it to death.
Mm-hmm.
Mow it down.
Yeah, don't let it. It spreads by its roots, but, you know, if you keep mowing it, it's.
Yeah. You know, and it stops growing. If you keep on the white top, if you stay on top of it, you know, like Lou says, mow it, hoe it, whatever, eventually it doesn't like to grow in the heat of summer.
Right.
And so you won't have to do it. Now it will start coming back up in the fall when things cool down and do it again.
Yeah.
You know, but they will slow down for the heat of the summer. They're definitely a spring grower.
Yeah.
Hey, Worms, this is Jeff. How's it going?
Good.
I'm butting in to pass on a question from a text message that just came in here at the studios.
Okay, thank you.
This is from Joel in Norwood. I just sprouted a large variety of leafy greens and herbs, chard, kale, basil, etc., indoors. Should I start to fertilize them? I have a lot of seasoned cow manure, maybe some manure tea, and what sort of recipe would you suggest? So,
all right.
Getting, that's a good one. There
getting starts inside.
Getting starts inside. I would go lightly just because they're inside and you don't want them to get too leggy.
You don't want them to get too big too fast.
You actually have a good recipe, Lulu, for manure tea. I mean, I do it in 50-gallon drums, so it's hard for me to do something that small, a small amount. So, I use a 5-gallon planting bucket and a 50-gallon drum. So, what is that?
What is it?
That's about 10%, 5%, something like that. About 10% manure to the thing. But, just do it lightly.
Yeah, that's what I would do, too. I would dilute it a lot. And I just fed my seedlings with the compost tea that I make, the fabulous fecal fertilizer for flowers.
Mm-hmm.
That in
F?
F.
F.
F. F. Yeah.
Okay. So, clarifying that.
Right? Just clarify. Just make it clear as mud. So, and it was amazing, but I really diluted it. And, I would be careful. I would be really careful with fertilizing.
Yeah. I would only do it once every 2 weeks at most.
At most, yeah. That's what I do. Right now I'm doing all my indoor house plants as well as my little seedlings, and that's what I do. I do it every other week,
mm-hmm.
and I do it really diluted down, and man, do they respond. It's just great.
Right.
And this is something else that you could do as another type of fertilizer. And, you know, once you get in the swing, you could do it with that. Tea is soak eggshells with the calcium.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
And
good
use
idea.
That water to water. But if you soak the eggs in the eggshell and then you do your mix that with the manure tea, yeah, that would probably work really good.
Because I have a calcium deficiency,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I use eggshells for me in my own little body,
yeah.
And that's a great idea to use them on the plants like that. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Good information.
Great, fabulous idea. Yeah, soak those eggshells. I put them all in the garden anyway. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I have a huge bucket of them, and I just sort of pretend I'm like the good fairy, just kind of sprinkle them around, you know, and that's kind of fun.
Fun. Okay, you. Thank you for your text, and you're listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF, and you can text your questions 970-234-KVNF or email us worm@kvnf.org. And the apricots are blooming out there, and a little bit of the forsythia is in bloom. And
yes,
what
I
else
love
you
that.
Yeah.
My sand cherries, the Nanking cherries are blooming. Oh, I got the best news ever.
Yes?
I heard a hummingbird, and I put the feeders out.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Really, really early. This is the earliest I've ever heard them.
Yeah, we're able.
2 weeks,
so.
2 weeks early. They usually come on the third week in April. Yeah, April. They usually come the third week in April, but there's one zipping around my house.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's neat. They're looking for food, and, you know, hopefully things will bloom out enough so they can get some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that feeder recipe?
The recipe, it's a 4-to-1, so it's a quart of water and 1 cup of sugar. And always be sure to use white sugar. Never use honey or any other sweetener. Just use white, nasty white sugar and a cup of sugar to a quart, 4 cups of water. And if you boil it a little bit, then you know you're sterile as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea.
Keep
your feeders clean. God, don't let them get moldy or nasty and, yeah. You know, those little guys, they're depending. If somebody, one of them's back already, I can promise you, the rest are going to follow. And, you know, take care of them because there's not a lot for them to eat right now.
That'll be fun to watch.
I know. I'm excited.
Lance, we were just talking about you putting out your marigolds on your asparagus bed last week, but you actually have some wild asparagus ready to almost harvest.
Yeah, I was real surprised to see this is the wild asparagus that's, you know, only about 6 inches, the crown's only about 6 inches deep, and there it was. I said, oh, give me a day or two, and especially if I get the water going, which I'll do this next weekend, they'll really start to grow. And if I frost, a hard frost is coming, I got lots of tarps because they do not like frost.
The asparagus doesn't, or are you talking about the marigolds?
The asparagus.
Yeah.
The marigolds, I don't know if you heard that last week, but the marigolds I just put on the sides of the actual asparagus beds where the crowns are 18 inches deep. And that has not been watered yet. This is the volunteer asparagus that's here and there throughout the garden.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. No, and the marigolds, they don't like frost either.
No, so I'm not watering those. They'll come up when it's the right time.
Yeah, they'll come up on their own for sure. Yeah.
Hey, guys, we have another texted question.
Thank you, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hello, Wormies. What is the best way to change a grass lawn into a garden? How do I bed prep, and what would be the best thing to plant into it first?
I love it.
This sounds like a newbie, maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
Lots of us newbies that are thinking about gardening this year.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
I love it. Go ahead, Worms. Wormies.
Let's see. What would I do at the start? At this point in time, there are sod shovels. Me, personally, I'd use a sod shovel and get underneath there and take all that sod off. And I'd stack it, and eventually it will compost, put it in the compost, whatever. You can even use it, stack sod as your sides of a compost pile. Okay? But, you know, easiest thing to do at this point is maybe some manure of whatever, you know, age manure, maybe some compost if you wanted to buy some. And I would, the best thing to plant, because you're still going to get grass in there and dandelions, and, you know, because once you take the sod out, it opens it up. It disturbs the soil for other weeds that have been under control because of the grass.
Right.
And stuff. So you're going to have those kind of things. So really good things to plant in there, corn, squash, beans, the big seeded stuff that can compete with that. Tomato plants, because you're starting with plants, you know, those kind of things. Ooh, I mean, maybe peppers, but, cucumbers, but the things that have rampant growth that can deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, it depends on what kind of grass you're dealing with as well. If it's barnyard grass, that, you know, nasty,
Black grass and that orchard grass and that.
Yeah,
kind of
the orchard thing. Grass and barnyard grass, orchard grass, Bermuda grass. I don't know what it's all of those things rolled into one, and it has those rhizomes that just trail off into the distance, and they
that's the quack grass.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean,
you know what you could do if you're going to plant like corn or squash or stuff. You know, get it all, till it all up after you take the sod off, and get it planted and. Put your cardboard and newspaper down and mulch it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that cardboard thing really works, too.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, we were just talking about manure tea. Give it an extra boost every 2 weeks in that kind of, you know.
Just get it going.
Yeah, you know, I've actually manure teed my squash plants and tomato plants and corn and stuff. So, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. So... cover it with something. That's the best way to get rid of grass at this exact moment is just try to squelch it out. Now, remember Jerome Ostentowski over in Basalt?
Yes.
He had this method where he used plastic and he burned it out. But I'm on this anti-plastic campaign.
Okay.
I think that I'm just horrified when I see the plastic in people's gardens. It's not right.
Yeah.
So if you can, but you know, when I was getting the weeds out of my yard in the very beginning, I had old carpet.
Uh-huh.
And I just put all this old carpet down and then mulched right on top of it. And just everything started to rot. And then I just got the carpet out, took the carpet out, and threw it away, and it worked. And it kind of was amazing. When I first started, I had just carpet with, I think I put wood chips on top of it in some places, and in other places I actually used rotted straw and hay and things, but all of that layering kind of thing will really help you squelch the grass out.
Yeah.
So. Another question coming in, guys, if you got time. A couple, actually.
Wow.
The first one is from our friend Duna in Norwood. Who is wondering about white top and the fact that is it or is it not edible?
Oh, okay.
And
I understand it's also known as hoary cress.
Hoary cress is its correct name.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have one more after that. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Hoary cress is edible. White top is edible. And I think it's probably really spicy. So it's in the cress family. And yes, you can eat that. Really.
Okay. And then the other question is texted in Molly Moore here. I love the text option. While my apricot is blooming, can I still trim and prune it up to encourage growth?
All right. Thank you, Molly. Good to hear from you.
Yeah,
you can still prune and thin it out. And all that you're going to do is knock some of the – you're going to thin the fruit. If you get me. So, yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, we just, my trees just got pruned this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing for a couple of days, playing pickup sticks.
Yeah, not too late still.
Nah, go for it. I haven't done my grapevine yet, though.
Oh, you finished your grape plants.
Yeah, you can do grapes. I did mine actually yesterday. It's fine, and if you don't get to them, it's also better to prune grapes late than it is early. So
right.
From now on, you're good, and you can do it within the next month or so.
Yeah, especially where mine are. Mine are in between the two houses, so they tend to come on a little later anyway. But then when they do, boy, they really come with a vengeance. It's great.
Yeah, they come on. The problem, grapes, you know, if they are starting to bud, you really don't want to knock that bud off because that's your fruit. And grapes have just that one bud that's going to have the most fruit. So you have to be careful if you're doing it later.
Yeah.
It's not so with fruit. Fruit trees, you're actually thinning fruit, which you need to do. But the grapes, if you knock that one bud off, well, there goes this year's fruit.
Yeah,
and I just want to, everybody's wondering about watering. Lance, you have your hoses out, and it's okay to start watering.
Yeah, I'm going to start full scale, well, not full scale, but where I need to. My garlic needs to be watered, and some of the flower beds need to be watered. I might do the fruit trees, but they're so deep-rooted. The ground is pretty moist down deep. These are the shallow-rooted stuff. I have a whole row of sweet peas, 50-foot row, and I planted them 2 weeks, and there's still moisture down there, an inch and a half, 2 inches, and they're just starting to sprout. I like to dig up, and I found one, and it was just putting the first seed, the root part of it sprouting. So I need to water those, and so there's some things like that I'm going to water. And, you know, if your grapevines are dry, they would really benefit from an early watering.
Right. Up here, I think we're still pretty wet.
You're probably still wet.
And
I've been on some southern exposure hillsides, and whoa.
Yeah.
I'm dry.
Hey, guys, we have one more quick comment.
Sure.
Jane in Paonia wants to second Lulu's use of carpet. She says she had a big area in her garden that was overtaken with bindweed. And she put carpet down on it for a few months, and when she took it up, the bindweed was gone. So there you go.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
I actually have a friend on Redlands Mesa, and they used to, for all the pathways, we got used carpet, or she got used carpet, and then we put it down upside down, and then covered it with wood chips. and that was the pathways.
Yeah.
Worked really, really good.
Yeah, works really good. And the cardboard laid down, it works good that way as well.
Yeah.
With the wood chips on top of it. So there's a couple of options there. Yeah, whatever works, whatever floats your boat.
Okay. This is this one's a time sensitive thing, and Jill and I talked about it. Is dormant oil on your fruit trees?
Oh yeah.
So that's what I was doing today was spraying dormant oil for somebody, and it's oil that's been emulsified, so it mixes relatively well with water. And what you're going to do, I found another list. It's actually more. It's an oil spray that you spray when the trees are dormant or just lightly starting to bud, and it will kill all of those insects that lay their eggs or winter over in the bark and in the crotches of the trees. And this is European red mite, San Jose scale, and here's a bunch of other ones here. Let me see. Where is it here? There it is. Paracillium, scilla, scale insects, aphids, thrips, mealybugs, whitefly, as well as the eggs of codling moth that have been in the tree.
Oh.
Oriental fruit moth, cankerworm, various leaf rollers, fungus growth, and bacterial disease such as fire blight are cleared up with dormant oil. That's a very useful a tool for your fruit trees.
Wow, that's
okay.
Awesome. There you go.
Great. Yeah.
And you can get this dormant oil in any of the garden centers, hardware stores, that little garden center. It's available in many different varieties. And if you don't want to use, they say oil, use the petroleum type, but you can also get vegetable oil and fish oils and stuff like that that will work also.
Right.
All right. Super great information tonight, Worm.
Yep, it's time to go. It's time to roll on here, that's for sure.
Yep.
Thank you to our texters and everybody that emailed, and we will be back again next Tuesday. Hopefully get a little clearer phone line, and it's more programming coming up on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns. Great to have you back, Lulu.
All right.
Good to be back. Good night, everybody.
All right, take care.
Bye.